Hello, Sick Career audience, and welcome to another podcast. On today's show, we have Dr. Ken Keyes. He is an esteemed author, speaker, coach. He's written lots of books. Like, he's written over 4 million words, I believe, and his latest book is On the Quest for Purpose. The relevance of this is, as we work with our clients at Kademic Careers, the first step of the growth framework is G, identifying your goal. And with your goal, with your purpose, it's important to think about that before you start going forth and achieving your goals. So we're going to talk a lot with Ken today about how you think about your purpose, how that purpose will influence your life and your decisions that you make. Listen up for this episode with Dr. Ken Keyes and stick around at the end because we are giving away a free goodie. Swag, stuff we all get, is coming at the end of this episode. So listen in and enjoy. Finally, before we head into the episode, just want to remind you, there's three ways that we can help you at Kademic Careers. What we are best at Kademic Careers is getting you a great job quickly, confidently, and with lots more money. And if you're the type of person that can do it on your own, we offer a do-it-yourself course. It's called the Job Acquisition Method. It will give you all the insights, information, scripts, worksheets, so that you can get a better job quickly, confidently, and with lots more money. If you're someone who likes more of a communal aspect, working with others, being in a group community, understanding and supporting other individuals, we have group coaching program. And for those of you that want personal accountability and a personalized coaching approach and a guarantee that we will get you a better job, we do offer personalized coaching with that better job guarantee. So check out all our resources. Check out how we can help you out at kademacareers.com, K-A-D-I-M-A, careers.com. And the last three words I will leave you with before we get into this episode are own your career. Hello, Acceleration Nation, and welcome to another episode of the Sick Career Podcast. Today, I am really excited to have an expert author, someone who is really fantastic at not only understanding purpose, but clarifying purpose and helping us get on a path to that purpose. Dr. Ken Keyes, he is calling in from Vancouver, British Columbia, which is my favorite city in Canada. I haven't told you that, Ken, but that is my favorite city.
Isn't that fortunate?
I've been there a couple times. I'm a big fan of Whistler, but we're not going to talk about skiing. We're not going to talk about the beautiful weather up there. Instead, we're going to be talking about purpose and your work. Thanks very much, Ken, for joining us here. I'd love you to share with the Sick Career audience here a little bit about who Dr. Ken Keyes is.
First of all, thanks for having me on. It's an honor to be able to serve, and for the listeners and people who are watching. A little bit of my background. I'm the third generation firstborn male that lived on a dairy farm. And so I came back from agricultural college where I got my diploma in nutrition and genetics. And it was about 2 years in where my dad and I were about to hurt each other just because we didn't get along. So when we think about career spaces, I just had to leave the environment. It wasn't working out. And of course, when I left the family farm, what did they say? We did all of this for you and you betrayed us and all these kinds of things that were going on, but it wasn't really a fit. And then I journeyed into working with the Federal Department of Agriculture, and then got into agricultural sales, which ended up leading me into this profession. I actually had my own dairy farm for a little bit. And I got up one morning, Alan, as all of us do in our lives, and say, okay, if I'm here 20 years from now, looking out this window at 5:30 in the morning, would that be okay? And I said, absolutely not. And so I had been the president of the local Toastmasters Club. I'd always known that I wanted to be a speaker, a trainer. Even when I was 16 and 17, I was emceeing events and enjoying that. But I said, how do I transition from this? So I went from doing sales to being a sales trainer and bought into a sales training franchise in the late 80s, which really got me into this industry. And then I joined the National Speakers Association. And I was still trying to figure out whom I spoke to speak to about what. And I actually hired a coach, Mike McManus, out of Seattle, Washington. It's a 2.5 hour drive. And he created a system called Source to help kids stay in school because they were all dropping out. They couldn't find their purpose, their direction, their career. And then what he discovered is mostly adults needed even more than students. Mm-hmm. And so he started to work with adults. I hired him as a coach. I worked with him for 6 months. And that was my journey to say that my purpose in life is to help others to live, lead, and work in purpose. In other words, my purpose is to help you to find yours in whatever way and clarity that you can do it. So here we are 35 years later. And the other side of this, which is an interesting thing, my grade 9 teacher said I would never amount to anything. Now, I went to school. I know that I sound young if you're just listening to a voice podcast, but my grade 9 teacher said I would not amount to anything because I couldn't read or write. And we weren't using computers. When I did my MBA, I started to use the computer for writing all my papers, and we discovered that I was dyslexic. And so the program Word has saved my bacon, if you want to call it that, for authoring, because all the little red line. And here I am now, I've authored 4 books, going into a fifth, 4 million words of content. But yet my grade 9 English teacher said you would not amount to nothing. So a lot of you that are listening, when we think about career direction, do we have family pressure about the direction we need to go into, me being the farm and that's where I'm supposed to stay? Do we have other influences around us where a teacher does a disservice to a student and says, you shouldn't be doing that? But I think all of us need to be able to lean into what is our pathway. And only you can really know what the answer to those questions are. But people like yourself, Alan, or myself create processes and systems for people to get to that clarity.
Awesome, Ken. That's a really good overview. And I love your focus on purpose. When we work with our clients at Kadima Careers, we use what we call the growth framework. So we teach people to first identify their goals. Growth is an acronym, and the G stands for goals. And the first part before we send people upon their career journey and helping them to find their goals is identifying their goals. And I think your most recent book, The Quest for a Purpose, about identifying the purpose and like discovering your purpose. So that is so critical when we work with our clients, identify their values and their goals before going off on that path. I'd love to hear how you define purpose, how you help people discover their purposes, any tips and tricks that you like that you have on that. And I know later in this podcast, we have a special gift for our listeners as well, but they'll have to wait for that. But
yes, they will. Yes, they will.
But how do you help people discover their purpose? What sort of tips and tricks do you utilize?
I'm sure you and the audience, if they've listened to your shows, know the stats that 80 to 90% of people dislike what they do, from mildly irritate to loathe. Gallup has been as low as 80 and as high as 90. So somewhere between 80 and 90%. So 4 to 5 people really are not fully engaged in work. I think that's a sad state, because for us to contribute at the highest level, to have sustainability, we need to be doing what we love, what we enjoy. That doesn't mean that every moment is euphoria. But when we think about this question, Alan, around what's your purpose in life, for most people, the question is too big. It's too overwhelming. It does not allow people to say, what's the little pieces? So they disengage and they don't do anything. So our process, probably similar to yours, is how can I identify the pieces? So when Dr. Tasha wrote the book Insights, which is a New York Times bestseller, her work was around self-awareness. And so we have 3 words. Self-awareness leads to self-management, that leads to self-mastery. And so as an assessment company, we said we want to clarify piece by piece, puzzle pieces, as you were talking earlier about values. So we have a values assessment, internal motivators. What drives me? So what are my values? And most people don't know what that is. So what it would mean if I could make a values-based decision? What's my personality? So what does that mean in terms of having the right job? So a lot of times people might actually have the right profession, but the nature of the work isn't a fit for them. And so then I can't sustain engagement. So our steps, which I went through myself, is that I believe career is almost a misnomer. And I've spoken at most of the national career conferences, including the international ones, is that really we just have a life. And that life includes all these different components. So in the book, what I get people to do is to create an autobiography. And so they journal through and say, in your life, our life has left clues. What excites you? What energizes you? What event really motivated you? And so I get people to identify those. I went through this myself in 1989, and then there are key words that come out of that. In addition to that, we use assessments such as values or personality. And then I talked about wellness too off air. And I believe there are some people that they're not realizing their potential because they're not well. So if I don't have the energy, if I'm not getting the sleep, it has nothing to do with the career. It has to do with the wellness issue. And that we can say that for maybe a future podcast. So people go through this process of journaling, and rather than feeling guilty, just process and go through it. We created a whole online course based on the book, The Quest for Purpose, to take you step by step through it. And so then piece by piece, I get this clarity. Now, if you remember Brendan Burchard's book, Habits of High Performers, and he identified six habits of the high performers, the number one habit is clarity. A lot of times people go and say, here's a career, it's 100K, it's 200K, whatever it is a year, I'm going to go do that. And then they're miserable. Or they get promoted because society thinks that promotion and being upwardly mobile is the way to go. A lot of times people promote themselves into misery. So I'll give you an example, and I can say the name here. So my neighbor worked for Home Depot, and then her husband had a workplace accident, and she was supervisor of the customer service department at the local Home Depot. Because her husband had a workplace accident, she says, I need to be able to just work. I can't be the supervisor anymore. A year later, Home Depot came to her and says, listen, take the supervisor job or we're going to fire you. So no, I don't want it anymore. I just like and enjoy doing the supervisory piece. They fired her. This is one of the best employees they had. And so she knew that she didn't want to do that, but the leadership thought that the only way that you could work here is to be the supervisor, when she had proven herself that I could do this job of just being the customer service person without the responsibility of leading others. So a lot of times when we think about careers, we get driven down certain spaces or certain areas, such as with me in the dairy farm. It's not that I disliked it. I knew that wasn't my purpose and my passion, and that I could probably do it from a skill point of view, but could I do it from a fulfillment point of view? And so my encouragement to listeners and people that are watching is to go on this journey of discovery. Don't beat yourself up with how long it takes or what you're doing or not doing, but go on this discovery. Say, your life has been leaving you clues about what you like, what you enjoy, who you like to hang out with, and start scribing this, journaling this, and start paying attention to the pieces that then create your fulfilling life.
That's great. So once you start identifying what's important for you and what fulfills you and what motivates you, what do you suggest then achieving that? How do you take that purpose of what's important for you and then putting a little clarity around it? Because like you talked about Brendan Burchard, the importance of clarity. So understanding what's important for you is good. Then what do you do with that?
It's this progressive step. So I start bringing the puzzle pieces. So if it's the values, if it's skill sets, if it's passions. And what we get people to do at the very end of the book is to say, okay, what does my ideal job career look like? So what are the components? So I remember interviewing a person on my podcast, and he wanted to be an entrepreneur, but he wanted to travel the world. So he created a coaching business where he could be a nomad and be in any part of the world and coach his clients while he still was this entrepreneur. So he was this coach that was traveling the world as a single fella that was able to be successful doing that. So he created an environment or a structure or an opportunity that really reflected what was important to him. When we think about SIC codes or NOC codes, National Occupational Codes, I'm not a big believer in those, because when I filled out an interest inventory way back, Campbell's interest inventory, said I was supposed to be president. Of what? Doing what, right? Or of banking. That was really not mine either. So now you work with professionals like yourself that help to bring clarity to their conversation. Okay, can you need independence? You want to be able to do your own thing. So here I own a publishing and training company that I 100% own, that I have the independence to do what I want when I want, and then have a team around me that takes care of the details to be able to do things like serving on a podcast or a speaker or a trainer, or to continue to author other opportunities for individuals. It's this step-by-step process of clarity, and it's okay to get it wrong, to say, okay, I went there and I tried this job, but I think we want to acknowledge that, okay, I got into a role, I got a position, and it wasn't fitting for me. Can I pay attention to what were the pieces that weren't working for me? We actually believe that procrastination is good, Alan, because it could be I'm doing the wrong thing. I could be doing the right thing with the wrong people, or both. So sometimes it's environment, not the career, where I have a team or a culture that really isn't in sync with who I am, and I need to find a better place for that. And a lot of times people are driven by security-driven questions, and I'm not saying be ridiculous or silly or irresponsible, but how can I start looking for an environment or group that supports what the drivers are for me.
How do people find those environments? How do they know? So say I'm someone who wants an environment with stability, a collaborative environment, one where you work with smart people. How then do you take that information? And those are just a few criteria that I threw out there. How do you take that criteria and then achieve your purpose and make progress towards your purpose?
I don't want to get in nunu out there where people talk about the law of attraction, but clarity actually helps people to pay attention to opportunities which actually are close by. In other words, if I define the environment and then I let my circle of influence, people I know, this is what I'm looking for. We've all read the work around 6 degrees of separation. It's probably more like 3 or 4, where the opportunity you seek is closer than you think, but you need to know what it is. So example is, just everybody that's listening here, think about when you bought a new car or a new used car. So you bought the Honda Civic. And after you bought the Honda Civic, what did you notice on the highway? All the other Honda Civics. How did that happen? How did top of mind occur? So the same thing with careers is that you start to pay attention. You start to look for, and those things become top of mind. You also let your circle of influence. We probably found each other out on LinkedIn. So there's all these other touch points where I can say, where is this environment? And people know where these environments are. Or as I did, I created my own. Meaning I was orchestrating my own business. And when this opportunity to buy CRG 20 years ago came up, then I had an opportunity to purchase it and be 100% owner. And it was interesting. My clarity was there were 13 different owners when I bought this company. And I had the opportunity to buy 51%. And I said, no, I can't do that. My value set is that if I'm going to invest all this money, I don't want to risk Alan's money and what I'm going to do or not do and be accountable for it. And so at that time, I knew that it had to be 100% or nothing. And that was part of the decision-making, where other person said, listen, no, it'll be easier entry, only 51, I have controlling interest. I just couldn't have a committee to do the decisions at that time. So maybe it's different now, but as we progress and grow and mature. And the other thing is people don't, as you invest in skills, example is I went to ag college. I was quite familiar with dairy farming and all the things that were around it. Sometimes, I don't want to say abandon, we need to move away for what we're doing. So example, one of my clients many years ago, a medical doctor, and we had met at another event similar to this, and he was saying to me, Ken, I really hate being a doctor. And I said, what do you mean? You just spent almost 15 years of your life with residency and everything to be a doctor. Why'd you become a doctor? It was what my dad always wanted me to be. My dad was a doctor, and he's a sharp individual, so he was able to push his way through. But he says, I'm miserable doing this thing. I said, so what do you really want to do? He says, I really want to help other individuals. So what he did is, first of all, don't quit your practice. You're still going to be an MD, but let's start talking about what you would like to do. Well, guess what he is now? He's a coach to other MDs over stress. And so helping them, because it's one of the most stressful professions. A lot of them are not really managing the stress well. In fact, some of the most unhealthy people are MDs. And because he's an MD, he has affiliation with that group. And now he runs his own coaching and training company to help fellow practitioners, medical doctors, to manage their stress and manage their practice. But that took some time. It took us 6 months to work through how the nuances and what he was going to do. But he could have stayed stuck with all that 15 years of educational commitment, or he could have transitioned, which he did, to create a very successful business model using his past training, but moving it into a way that was a fit for him.
Got it. You have a very remarkable story and background. I'm pretty confident that you're the first former dairy farmer on the Sick Career Podcast. Now you're an author, speaker, podcast host, coach. Tell me how you actually made that transition. So once you knew that dairy farming wasn't for you, how do you actually actualize that change? What did you go through, and how do you advise other people to make a pivot, which is seemingly from the outside impossible to make?
I'm going to admit, at that time, and of course this is a while ago when I left the dairy farm, so it's almost 35 plus years. It was one of the most difficult things to do. We have a different model of extroversion. Extroversion in our model is a person influencing the environment, has nothing to do with people. So I'm a highly extroverted person in our personality model, which means that I'll tell the environment what to do. If the current situation is not okay to fulfilling, and I'm not meaning from a self-centered point of view, because there's people that are narcissistic and that's their problem. What is the adjustment you need to make so that you can feel fulfilled? Now, I love my dad. He's 91, and at the time of recording this, he's still alive. But he lost his dad when he was 16. He lost his eldest brother when he was 17. He had to take over the farm. He didn't have any modeling of how to do it. Eastern European descent is you just shut up and listen and you're told what to do. And that wasn't a model I was doing. I said, okay, how do I move out of this? I moved into a job opportunity, which interesting was provided to me by my dad's best man from his wedding. So he worked for the Federal Department of Agriculture. I qualified for that and I moved through that process. Then I was offered a job as a sales professional. I was very involved in the community. So I was given opportunities. I was director of different clubs, president of various agricultural clubs in my 20s that were very successful. So I was out in the community and people were offering me that. So I moved into the sales thing. And then another friend started the sales training franchise. So again, it was a connection. And I said, okay, did I want to stay in the sales position forever? And I said, no. Do I want to get into this training? I can go from being the top sales performer into doing sales training. So that brought me credibility. And then I met the owners of the current company I have just a year later, and they were already creating psychological tools and assessments. And then I moved into this whole leadership space. And in 89, when I was mentioning to you, when I joined the National Speakers Association, they also encouraged me and mentored me, and they were so supportive. So my encouragement to people is try not to do this on your own. Is you get the Allens of the world to assist, if nothing else, to affirm your decisions, invalidate the direction, and be an independent feedback mechanism. And of course, when I hired Mike way back in 89, that was not a big thing to have a coach. But without him, I never would have done it. I was accountability to do my journaling. I was getting off track. I wasn't necessarily focused. I was blessed. I have to say it. I was just blessed with amazing people around me who are willing to support me on this journey. And even when I bought this company, I was involved with it back in 1990. They mentored me as well to move me from this salesperson into this expert around leadership. They helped me to get into doing my MBA course. And all of a sudden, those professors helped me because my MBA was an executive MBA. So all the participants in there were adults who already had positions. One was the attorney general of the province. Another one was the president of a local college who wanted to get her master's degree. So these people were also assisting me. And you know the old saying, show me who your closest five friends are and I'll tell you where you'll be in a year or two. I was just been very intentional to be around people that would encourage me, mentor me, just drag me up, if you may, and just take me to the next level that were supportive of that.
Yeah, and the connections are so critical. In my case, I've had 29 jobs in my career. 24 out of those 29 jobs, a door was open for me because of someone, either that I knew or I got to know. In two cases, it was nepotism. My dad pulled a favor for me and my Aunt Sammy did.
Fair enough.
And I'm not proud of that, but that's just how things happen. And it sounds like a lot of your opportunities came also because of relationships that were either convenient or, like, how much of them were just serendipitous of your dad's friends or things like that versus how much did you go out and seek out for yourself? Because you're from British Columbia all your life, right?
Correct. I was born here. I was now five generations in this town that we live, which is just 40 minutes out of Vancouver.
Yeah. So you've probably had lots of your fortune and luck and serendipity through people in and around you. What about for people that don't necessarily have that fortune or don't necessarily have that cushion around them? What do you recommend for them to get out? If they have an idea of their purpose, they don't necessarily have the right people in their midst and in their vicinity. How do you recommend that they get proactive and achieve their purpose?
It is a very interesting, good question, Alan, about where do I start? My encouragement is you start joining groups or networking groups or mastermind groups. There's all kinds of groups are available out there. If you're not out there, you're not out there. Yes, the first job I got because the person knew my dad, he said, okay, here's an opportunity. The next job came to me where they knew me through my involvement in the community. So I was president of the local Holstein Club. At 22, we grew our membership to the largest in the history of the group at 22. And then this person was the manager, said, I'd like you to be the salesperson for this company for us. And so that's where that came. And then I had network with somebody else. I'd gone to different events. And then the person who was starting the sales training franchise, I knew him. So recommendation to individuals is that you can't be a hermit and then have all those opportunities come to you. So where do the individuals, the groups, the people, your tribe hang out that you'd like to be part of? And go there, be part of that, whatever that networking is, if it's online, if it's in person, if it's a LinkedIn group, and then start participating, because if people don't know you, they're not going to reflect that. Now, here's another side that came into. We had the sole source contract to do all the training for Chrysler for nearly a decade. Myself, Chrysler, the automotive. And how that came about is I went to a National Speakers Association conference in Atlanta, met a person there just having coffee. We connected for a little bit. We talked about different training and what we're doing. They call me a week later and said, so I never met them before, Alan. They call me a week later and said, oh, by the way, Chrysler is doing the largest customer service training in the history of the company. And they're looking for people in Canada. Here's the person that I met. I call him. I get hired as the team lead for the West Coast. And then there were five of us asked back to do continuous training. I was one of those five. And then there were two of us given the sole source contract to do all the soft skills for 7 or 8 years. And so that was how that occurred. I'm in Atlanta meeting a person for coffee, and I'm clear about what I want to do. They call me because this person's from Canada. And that was a multiple seven-figure contract for the better part of 6 or 7 years, and blessed with that. And then after 9/11, the contract was canceled the next day, and the opportunity to buy the publishing company, which I now own, came up. But I had knew them, and I was one of their top distributors, and so that's how it progressed into doing this work. And I moved from a speaker who was doing writing to an author who does speaking. I'm still in the same space, but I was moving, and I spent 10 years revising all the content. You have to get out there, Alan. You can't just hide. And then the other one is you say, Alan, where could I meet? Where there are some individuals there? And as I get my clarity, then you'll know the groups to participate in, to hang out with. I get invited to a group. It was called the Millionaire Eagles Club. It was a group started by Mark Victor Hansen, because I'd gone to another event, and it was through these series of ones, and I got invited to be part of this mastermind group of all these individuals who were in the professional development space who were all doing 7 figures or more. I didn't even know it existed till the invitation came my way, because I was out there and I was networking and I was connecting. Now, not everybody is that way. You could do a lot of this networking online. As we found each other online, we hadn't really met prior to. So here we are. So how did I find you? I don't know. It was just fortuitous that a career expert like yourself was able to find somebody who works in this career space.
Nice. And I was looking up your bio before we chatted. In addition to Chrysler, you've spoken at Boeing, I believe, Honda, AT&T, several large companies. I've been fortunate enough in my career when I was at Salesforce and Google and American Express to get guest speakers in. And a lot of the speakers came in because some senior leader knew that speaker and invited them in. To your point of the relationships being so critical, I understand that. What sort of things are you generally teaching these professionals at these organizations, and how do they apply that?
Our number one tool that we have is the personal style indicator, which is an alternative to DISC or Myers-Briggs or True Colors or Enneagram. That's our number one tool, and our number one workshop is based on my book, Why Aren't You More Like Me? So we have a unique model. It's now the number one rated personality assessment globally by participants. And even education uses it, grade 10 or whatever. So we're teaching people the self-awareness of personality, because every single person on the planet has it. We're in 13 different languages, 30 countries. And if I'm in Japan, if I'm in China, if I'm in the US, I'm in Canada, if I'm in France, if I'm in Sweden, we have all this underpinning of this foundational predisposition. So we teach that to people because that affects everything in their life. Their job choices, their relationships personally, their relationships professionally, as well as one of the things we're teaching people, and I think this is very important. When we think about careers, a lot of times people discount their own worth or their own value. And we could be environments that we grow up into, work or personal, where we're not validated for who we are. So one of the things we teach around, okay, and this is not around narcissism and self-centeredness. This is around self-honoring. So you remember the old saying, kids are to be seen, not
heard.
Heard. Where did that come from? And I'm a verbal person.
Probably adults.
I'm balanced in our model. Pardon me? Probably adults. Kids are to be seen, not heard. So my dad always said to me, you talk too much, and now I get paid to do it. our backgrounds, when we think about careers and choices, one of the things we're teaching executives is, can I lean into the validation of who I am and I'm okay with me, knowing we all have stuff we have to work on. We all have things that we need to improve and be in this growth mindset that you teach. But at the same time, can I honor the fact that I am this way? This is what I bring to life. We believe in a strengths model. Developing your weaknesses is highly overrated. So yeah. I want to play to my strengths. Do I know what those strengths are? And yes, I need to mitigate those weaknesses because I'm not detail-oriented. Doesn't mean I don't do my expense account or don't do my taxes. IRS or CRA is not going to be happy if you don't do your year-end thing. But can I get people around me to help that? So we're teaching people those basic items. And then we have another tool or resource where we say, can I match the nature of the person to the position from a personality point of view, from a job fit? Now, this is independent of skills. This is independent of passions. And this is independent of purpose. This is personality fit to a position as an underpinning. And then from teaching them from there, our second most popular tool, which you talked about earlier, is values. So our values assessment is built out of our personality. And these are motivational or internal values that if they're not present, I won't feel fulfilled. So it's built actually out of our four-dimensional personality model. So if it's not present, we have related needs and fears. So one of the values I have is independence. One of my fears is being controlled by others. So we teach this that, okay, what is so important that it's non-negotiable? If you said, Ken, I'm going to give you $1 million if you do what I say, when I say, as long as it's not illegal or immoral for the next year, I'm not going to do it because my independence is not for sale. However, I might do it for $1 billion so I could tell you what to do for the rest of your life after that year. So that might be my motivation. So if I think about, I'll give an example. A firm had a 40% turnover in their credit collection department. And so they had this terrible reputation. And so the manager was hiring people with this nice demeanor. And I went in there and in our value set, their values was tranquility. So their number one fear is conflict. What is every credit collection call about, Alan? So, and I said, why are you doing this? He said, well, because we have such a terrible reputation, I wanted to hire nice people. But the reason they couldn't sustain their engagement was because the nature of the position wasn't the nature of them. So we moved away from that. We're teaching people how to be respectful and professional on the call. We went from 400% turnover to 40% in 90 days in a credit collection department zone because that wasn't a fit. And a lot of times people beat themselves up for not doing something. The other one is if I'm in a role, responsibility, or a career position that is not a fit personality or values wise, our research shows is you cannot sustain engagement. So you're going to be miserable or your performance is going to go down and you're going to tolerate it because you're getting a check or you're possibly going to get fired or you're going to quit. But why wouldn't I want to be intentional with my decisions? Wouldn't I want to be awake and aware of what is a fit? So our ability to be successful in life in careers or choices is equally prevalent on saying no as much as saying yes. So opportunities come our way. Oh, great, we're going to do that. But I need to say no because it's not a fit. Or when I decided to leave my sales job, even then my parents were saying, what are you doing? You got a company car, you get lunch paid for, you get your expenses paid for to start your own sales trading business. That's because of what I was destined to do. Interesting enough, that company closed 5 years later, so I wouldn't have been there anyways. So for individuals, don't get overwhelmed by it. When people go through my book or through my online course, I just say, take the time that you need to get there and you're moving forward. And if it takes you a year to get clear, who cares? Where would you be in a year if you didn't do anything? You'd just still be stuck. Of course, I get passionate about this, Alan, and there's no evidence that I like what I do. I know, but I'm just playing with
it. It is quite evident that you are passionate about it. And with that, before I wrap up with the last two questions, I do want to talk to our listeners about this very special gift that you're sharing with people. Do you want to share what you're giving away to the audience?
We're going to give away the e-version of my book, The Quest for Purpose. So this is not a shortened version or one chapter. It's the entire e-book. We just have a hidden URL that is specific to Alan. And Alan, what is that URL?
It is kenkeis.com/Kadima. So it's kenkeis.com/Kadima, KADIMA.
It'll be there for you to be able to download and to read the book, and all the instructions and the directions and the journal and the questions are all there for you.
And there's a great video of you here on the screen when you had a mustache. For those of you that are not looking at you here, you are now clean shaven, but back on this video, you did have a nice mustache.
I have to get some new pictures. The short story to that before we go is that I had a mustache for my whole life. 2 years ago, my daughter gave birth to our first grandson, and she says, "Dad, I want you to take it off for that event." I did, and my wife has not allowed me to grow it back.
The last two questions I always like to ask our guests is, what's one last piece of sick career advice that you'd leave our listeners with?
I think don't be satisfied with being dissatisfied. And if that's your condition, then do something about it. Sitting there wallowing and having a pessimistic attitude or a negative attitude isn't going to change it. So hire Alan, get him working on your thing, and journey this towards something that brings resolution. Now, life's never perfect. There's days in my company when I say, oh man, not one of those technical things that click. But if you're not happy, not 100%, then go on this journey to find out what it is. Just do the work. And this is not for somebody who's lazy and doesn't want to do anything, but just step in and start doing it and take as long as you need to get there.
Awesome. Great advice. And then the very last question I have here, Ken, how can people find you and learn more from you?
There's two websites. I'll give you KenKeis, KenKeis.com, or our main assessment site, which is CRGLeader, LEADER.com, which has all our resources that somebody like you as a professional developer or an individual can access as well.
Awesome, Ken. I appreciate your generosity of time, your advice, your insights, hearing about how you've gone from a dairy farmer to a speaker and a coach and a podcast host and guest as well. Thank you for everything that you do, Ken. Thanks for joining the Sick Career Podcast.
And thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to serve, Alan.
Thanks a lot, Ken.
That wraps up another remarkable episode of the Sick Career Podcast with Alan Stein. Check out past episodes and other resources on the website. That's sickpodcast.com, and it's S-Y-C-K. Alan, tell the audience about the newsletter they can sign up for.
The newsletter rocks. Check out the accelerator, XLR8R. You will get great tips about your career. You'll get honest insights. You'll get the occasional pet picture. And you will learn how to take proactive control and take charge of your career.
Very good. Very good. That's sickpodcast.com, S-Y-C-K. For your host, Alan Stein, I'm Russ Reba. And we hope you've enjoyed today's episode. You are going to love the next one.